is your ship and you are the captain. Oh, captain, let's make a deal where we both say the things that we both really feel. I feel scared and I'm starting to sink, and I only sink deeper the deeper I think.
Chapter 3, Meeting the Family. Xiang Qinghua sleeps on Luo Jiahui's floor that night, and the next day stands awkwardly to the side while she wraps up her entire life in one large pack and a single morning. She returns the washing to her clients, apologizing profusely in the cases where she couldn't finish, and cheerfully avoids all the neighbors' nosy questions about where she's going and why. She even smiles when they're openly nasty to her face, even when they make her flinch with the impact of her words. Wow, does Xiang Qinghua really, really relate to that? He feels that smile in his soul. He likes to think he's gotten better about having a backbone since becoming a Peak Lord, and this seems to prove it. Random angry locals might have been super scary throughout his second childhood, when he'd felt like an alien among them, but random locals acting like they're about to throw a fit at a customer service desk are kind of laughable now. Compared to the godly powerhouses throwing their scary, scary fits about poor service in front of Xiang Qinghua's desk these days, which absolutely make him flinch, grovel, and duck for cover where needed. These mundane extras are, just not that intimidating anymore. If they can't disintegrate him or report him to someone who can totally disintegrate him, then who cares? Progress! Airplane Spine has leveled up from jelly to wood, maybe. Hooray! Xiang Qinghua does his best to look intimidating, in case any of Luo Jiahui's, other clients try something. He tries to channel Mo Bei Jun's, "I will kill you and everyone you love if you dare to breathe too loudly in my royal presence," ice-cold aura, but he thinks he only succeeds in appearing slightly physically ill. If this was Proud Immortal Demon Wei, as written by Airplane Shooting Towards the Sky, then it would be obvious that Master Gao, the wealthy pimp innkeeper, was an insignificant scum lecher with a rotten heart. The man would have an undressing women with his eyes stare, and hands that reached out too often and lingered too long, all sorts of signaling gestures, which the sharp-eyed protagonist would notice in an instant. He'd probably be at least implied to be old and ugly, too, because the natural beauty is a sign of goodness trope is the way to go for formulaic trope-abusing hacks, especially ones on a deadline. The man's family resort would obviously be a cheap front for illegal or immoral activities, instead of a genuinely lovely country retreat, a well-to-do and well-maintained house of relaxation and rejuvenation. But Master Gao looks less than 50, and he's not bad-looking. The man is very smiley, with a very gentle manner, and there's no outward evidence that he took advantage of Luo Jiahui's situation as her main employer, besides the notable physical distance Luo Jiahui keeps between them, while she explains that she's leaving. He even acts concerned that Luo Jiahui and Luo Binghe, on his mother's hip, are suddenly leaving town with a strange man. He asks if she needs more work or another loan to help her care for the child. He offers to move them into his family's estate properly. He scowls at Xiang Qinghua distrustingly. It's almost convincing, except for the flash of anger that peeks through when Luo Jiahui keeps Xiang Qinghua between them and politely declines his too generous offers of assistance. Xiang Qinghua's skin crawls. He finds himself considering all the things that his blackened protagonist's son might do in this sort of situation. The poetic justice that would be delivered by an overpowered master of revenge stallion protagonist. But he's not that person. And Luo Jiahui clearly just wants to go. She clears her throat and puts her hand on his arm, looking up at him pleadingly. So Xiang Qinghua does not orchestrate a sudden, tragically fatal, completely natural-looking medical emergency for Master Gao, the scum innkeeper, even though it would be really easy. He's a writer at heart, you know. He spent a lot of time researching murders and the perfect murder for writing reasons, even before he joined the occasionally very shady Anding Peak. When he transmigrated into the role of a slimy, power-hungry spy in his own murder and drama-filled stallion web novel, what was he supposed to do? Not investigate the complex logistics of murder out of curiosity? And also just in case? Instead of putting all of his good research to use here, he hands over the money to pay off Luo Jiahui's debt, and he takes a petty amount of pleasure in letting the spiritual energy clinging to his fingers give Master Gao a stinging shock. The man jumps and curses. "Ah, sorry, sorry," Xiang Qinghua says insincerely. Luo Jiahui is putting a lot of trust in Xiang Qinghua not to screw her over here. To not be this guy. Or that other guy. Ha ha, third time's a charm, right? Luo Jiahui digs her fingers into Xiang Qinghua's arm, her polite smile turning fearful as she watches a scowling Master Gao pick the money off the floor. And suddenly, Xiang Qinghua feels like he's the scum villain here. Luo Jiahui thanks the man for his care one last time, profusely, and then yanks Xiang Qinghua back out of the inn. She takes them down the street hurriedly, breathing rapidly the whole time like they're escaping a dungeon full of demons instead of a relatively fancy resort and estate. She's acting like she barely made it out of there alive. Luo Bingha whimpers. "Are you all right?" Xiang Qinghua asks. "Fine, fine," Luo Jiahui says, high-pitched and breathless. She's obviously not fine. Not fine at all. But Xiang Qinghua isn't socially adept enough to push her on what exactly is bothering her and then comfort her. He's pretty sure he'd just accidentally push her into crying again, especially since she sounds like she's going to cry again. At least she and Luo Bingha aren't going to grow up under the thumb of a man clearly suffering from big fish in a small pond syndrome now. Xiang Qinghua doesn't remember what he said that Luo Bingha's adoptive mother's employers did to them exactly, beyond refuse basic necessities like food and medicine, but he's pretty sure that arrogant, miserly family was the first step in corroding his protagonist's faith in humanity. Luo Jiahui and Luo Bingha will be totally fine now that those people are out of their lives for good. The two of them are equally nervy, embarrassingly skittish, when Xiang Qinghua finally puts Luo Jiahui's belongings over his back, picks her up in a princess carry, with her holding Luo Bingha, and flies them away from that terrible, no-good, very bad town, over to the next decent-sized town. Xiang Qinghua almost feels like a heroic figure, a master cultivator flying through the air on a spiritual sword with a damsel in distress and her innocent child in his arms. But it's actually just exhausting. It really just sucks. Luo Jiahui is rigid with tension the entire time and barely looks at him. He barely looks at her. The awkward silence is only broken by baby Luo Bingha crying in distress over his first flying experience. Or Luo Jiahui apologizing miserably for her baby's misbehavior. Zhang Qinghua panickedly spends the entire time internally asking his system, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" His system, as per usual, doesn't oblige him with answers. As far as Zhang Qinghua knows, it either doesn't have a map function or it flat out refuses to let him use it. It doesn't oblige any of his requests to at least play some traveling music either. He really has the stingiest system. If it's too much to ask that he gets his illegally downloaded music library back, or his own special Zhang Qinghua, Peak Lord of Anding, badass theme music, then Airplane's transmigration would still be 110% better if he at least got a basic background soundtrack perk. "Be a bro, system," Zhang Qinghua silently begs over the baby's persistent crying. "Put together a cultivation settings playlist." The system is disdainfully silent. Everyone is relieved when they touch down again in the next town. Zhang Qinghua sheathes his sword and resists the urge to put his head between his knees, which would be the complete opposite image of a dignified peak lord, to combat the heady combination of exhaustion and relief. He's really not used to carrying another person carrying a squirming baby. He's pretty sure the stress alone added another weight. They get a two-bed private room at one of the nicer local inns. Not too nice, keeping Luo Jiahui's previous shitty employers in mind, because it's the late afternoon and neither of them wants to travel through the night. Zhang Qinghua bows out of the room quickly and leaves Luo Jiahui to clean herself and baby Luo Bingha up. Another reason why they have to stop. It turns out that even the protagonist, Halo, can't make baby poop smell good. That last leg of the flight was not fun. Zhang Qinghua really needs to invent or invest in an air freshener talisman. He's pretty sure that Qian Cao makes anti-poison masks, so maybe he'll requisition himself one of those. Out on his lonesome, Zhang Qinghua hires a messenger from a local sect to fly ahead to Zhangjiang, because they're more reliable than the talismans he'd already sent. He doesn't want to come back to find that Anding has destroyed itself due to infighting for the peak lord position, because they panicked and thought he was never coming back. He sends a "please don't burn the peak down" message to his current second-in-command, and includes a much more polite letter to his sect leader, explaining that he's been delayed on business. Acting as a messenger service can be pretty decent business for small cultivation sects and rogue cultivators. Despite Airplane's whimsical decision a lifetime ago to keep the cultivation classic of flying swords to a minimum in his actual story, much to the confusion and disdain of fans and anti-fans alike, flying swords are nevertheless everywhere in this realized version of his web novel. And despite whatever artistic vision had overwhelmed him in another life, Zhang Qinghua has since seen the error of his ways and lobbied hard for Zhangjiang Mountain Sect to support these official messenger sects. Carriages and horses are still obviously way better when it comes to traveling comfortably as a large party. He stands by that, especially for weaker cultivators. Who cares if it takes so much longer? Timely communication is vital to his job. Message talismans are kind of unreliable long distance. He needs to know when roads need repair and when supply trains have been held up by bandits. People can contact them for help more easily. Yue Qingyuan can even be badgered into bullying Liu Qingge into sending "I was here" reports sometimes. The more convenient it is for the wandering war god to send word, the less excuse he has for being completely unfindable. Unless, of course, Liu Qingge is just barreling off into complete wilderness, far away from anything resembling civilization, which happens a lot. And these messengers are very important now when Zhang Qinghua needs to send his own mysterious Liu Qingge-style I'm not dead message. Very fun. Zhang Qinghua rarely gets to do things like that. Less fun is the reminder that he's at risk of missing his next meeting with Mo Beijun, depending on how quickly they can travel from here on out. Zhang Qinghua can't really think about that without wanting to scream in terror, so his current plan is just to grovel like he's never groveled before, to grovel like no one has ever groveled before. He will grovel so shamelessly, so fervently, and so pitifully that the heartless Mo Beijun will be so embarrassed to be associated with him that he'll hopefully just leave. Leave without asking why Zhang Qinghua suddenly up and vanished on a special self-appointed mission. Yeah, that'll work. The system is still not saying anything, but Zhang Qinghua can feel it being judgy of him. He comforts himself with the idea that maybe this one good deed of Zhang Qinghua's will be enough to save Zhang Chong Mountain Sect from future Demon Emperor Luo Bingha. Maybe he'll balance out scum villain Shen Qingqiu. You never know. Zhang Qinghua's disciples can put up with a couple weeks of forms sitting unsigned on his desk in exchange for Zhang Qinghua probably saving their lives here. They'll all see the wisdom of having Luo Bingha's favor in little more than 20 years or so. Please stop judging me, Zhang Qinghua mutters to his no-good system. It says nothing. He scouts out some local restaurants and some stores that sell traveling supplies, resolving to leave the final decisions to Luo Jiahui, anxiously unwilling to make assumptions on her behalf. Not even when it comes to dinner. It seems safe to assume that, despite his useless status as author god, she knows better than he does what she wants to do and what she needs. He didn't even give her a name, much less a backstory. One thing he does buy is a simple, cuddly cloth doll in cute little robes. Whoops. An impulse purchase. He saw it, and then suddenly it was in his hands. It's got no sharp edges and no hard pieces, so his son shouldn't be able to accidentally hurt himself with it. And the bewildered seller even assures him that the doll is well made and that his child won't accidentally choke on a stray part or anything. Yes, the obviously bewildered seller reassures him. All children like to play and cuddle with dolls, and it's perfectly safe. None of the dyes involved are secretly poisonous or anything. So he returns to the inn with a toy in hand, almost sweating with anxiety over an act which he knows is not that big a deal, which he knows probably won't offend Luo Jiahui. And he accidentally walks in on Luo Jiahui breastfeeding. She stares back at him with an equally wide-eyed and helpless expression. Oh shit! Zhang Qinghua says reflexively. Sorry, sorry, I'll just... He flees the room immediately. He proceeds to have a handful of parallel breakdowns, politely out of sight. Firstly, over the fact that, oh right, his protagonist's son is still young enough to be breastfed. Luo Bingha is a baby. Zhang Qinghua was too busy having a different breakdown to pay attention to Luo Jiahui's closed bedroom door yesterday or earlier today, and Luo Jiahui had periodically excused herself, and Zhang Qinghua had asked her no real questions. He'd just immediately gone, sure thing, I'll wait right here, and then essentially just unpaused, mentally flying apart to entertain himself until she came back. Secondly, over the fact that most of his knowledge of lactation comes from being a shameless purveyor of kinky shit in another life, which is not a good source of information. So, oh, wow, he really knows nothing about babies, huh? How the fuck did he not think about how his baby son eats? Thirdly, over whether or not this universe decided Luo Jiahui should suffer a stillbirth so that she'd not only be lonely and vulnerable enough to adopt the protagonist, but also be able to feed him. Airplane had not bothered to think about how Luo Bingha's adoptive mother fed him as a newborn foundling. Animal milk? Magical nectar that served as a hack cultivation setting baby formula? Magical animal milk? He didn't think about it. Not once. It didn't matter. Not a relevant story detail. At best, he vomited up a throwaway line of hand-wavy bullshit at some point and never thought about it again. Maybe Shangqing Hua's next vacation should be finding a really tall cliff and just screaming at the top of it. Affordable therapy. He deserves that. He stays there, sitting on the floor, until Luo Jiahui hesitantly opens the door to their room again. She looks down at him, almost like she's found something mildly frightening and unpleasant on her doorstep. But there's nothing to do but deal with it unless she resigns herself to using the window instead. Shangqing Hua stands back up slowly, feeling like a thousand apologies are bubbling in his throat again. Bingbing is done eating. If you would like to come back inside, I apologize. No need to apologize. Perfectly normal thing to do. The baby needs to eat, Shangqing Hua says hastily. I only left to give you some extra privacy, in case you wanted it. The lady with the baby gets the room, ha ha. Here, I brought a gift. He thrusts the doll towards Luo Jiahui, like it can somehow make up for every bad thing he may or may not be responsible for in this world. Oh, thank you. How cute. Why don't you come give it to Bingbing directly? Luo Bingha is sitting on one of the beds, propped up by a pillow, looking sleepily content. He reaches out towards Luo Jiahui, flapping one of his little hands, smiling widely and babbling towards his beloved adoptive mother. Mama, 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 he says. Ugh! It's like taking an arrow of cuteness right to the chest. Shangqing Hua approaches awkwardly and presents the doll to Luo Bingha, hoping that he doesn't resemble a terrified retainer offering a gift in hopes of convincing a ruthless emperor to spare his life. It kind of feels like that. Just a little bit. Luo Bingha freezes and eyes the doll uncertainly at first. And it takes a lot not to panic and interpret that as this adorable little baby being 3 seconds away from ordering, "Off with his head!" Instead, Luo Bingha spreads his little arms, clumsily grabs his present, and mashes the doll to his chest in a hug. Ma! Mama na na ma! It's so cute! Luo Bingha then waves the cloth doll towards his mother. Ma, 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 ma! I see it, Luo Jiahui says brightly. I see your new toy, Bingha. What a nice toy. You should say thank you to your Uncle Shang for giving you such a nice toy. Luo Bingha just keeps trying to show the doll to his mother. Which is great, because Shangqing Hua's heart just sort of stopped working for a second there. Haha, weird. He's never been anyone's uncle before, so that was kind of surprising. Airplane didn't have any siblings in his first life. Shangqing Hua hasn't seen a single member of his second family since the day he left, and they probably all breathed a sigh of collective relief. Thank goodness the weirdo is finally gone, they probably all said. Should I not tell him to call you that? Luo Jiahui asks hesitantly. Shangqing Hua straightens to attention, looking away from the power of the baby's protagonist halo. What? No, it's good. Completely fine. I like it. Makes sense for him to call me Uncle Shang if he's going to be my nephew, right? When If he ever joins Tung Chung Mountain Sect someday, then I'll be his shushu anyway, probably. Ha ha. You really think he could become a cultivator? I don't see why not, Zhang Qinghua says. Rather than unpack any of the other answers that come immediately to his panicked mind, especially with the foreboding presence of the system hanging over him at all times. Luo Jiahui looks so hopeful. She bows earnestly. Thank you, brother-in-law. Brother-in-law? He repeats. Oh. He bows back and answers, sister-in-law. There's still no way people, his martial siblings, his disciples, and all of Tang Chong Mountain Sect, really, aren't going to think his nephew is his bastard son, if they ever find out about this. But this is nice. Zhang Qinghua can pretend that calling Luo Jiahui his younger brother's wife will fool people. Luo Jiahui straightens again and smiles at him, shy and pleased. Dinner? Zhang Qinghua suggests defensively. The next morning, they buy traveling supplies and a donkey, because Zhang Qinghua cannot carry Luo Jiahui and Luo Bingha all the way to Tang Chong. Well, maybe he could, but not quickly, and his nerves are just as likely to give out as his strength and spiritual technique. Zhang Qinghua cannot spend any more hours terrified that he might somehow accidentally drop the protagonist. It's not good for his health. And, fortunately enough, Luo Jiahui doesn't ask him to. Traveling by foot isn't very interesting usually, unless you count Zhang Qinghua's constant fears of being attacked by something on the ground, as opposed to by something in the air, as a form of entertainment. But Luo Jiahui and Luo Bingha are much better traveling companions this way. Flying swords just aren't comfortable. Luo Jiahui can finally relax, and Airplane Sun, instead of being endlessly frightened and unhappy, goes back to being devastatingly adorable and extremely, probably abnormally, well-behaved in the way of a true White Lotus protagonist pre-blackening. Though it could also just be that Luo Jiahui is actually able to soothe and look after him, now that she's no longer terrified that Zhang Qinghua will accidentally drop her. There's a lot more room to maneuver on the ground. They pass the first leg of their journey in relative silence, peacefully awkward. But eventually, Luo Jiahui bravely tries to ask Zhang Qinghua questions about Tang Chong Mountain Sect. She's grown up hearing about these legendary immortal cultivators, about this beautiful and indomitable sect, so she's fascinated by them, as most mundane people are. Zhang Qinghua is more than happy to answer all her questions. Between his status as author god of this world and lord of Anding Peak, he may honestly know more about Tang Chong Mountain Sect than anyone alive. He can wax poetic about what was probably his best location and best world-building in Proud Immortal Demon Way for days. Luo Jiahui doesn't have to put in much effort to get him blabbering about Zhang Qinghua and airplane shooting towards the sky's favorite cultivation sect. It's getting him to shut up that's usually the trouble. Luo Jiahui is a gratifying audience, too, an attentive and involved listener. She gasps and oohs and ahs in all the right places, apparently sincerely. She asks follow-up questions that show she's paying close attention. It genuinely makes Zhang Qinghua feel like he's not just rambling on to a disinterested audience who just wants him to go away, not just spewing, pandering bullshit for rent and food money. Zhang Qinghua feels almost proud of himself when he makes Luo Jiahui giggle by dishing out some of the dirt on some of these immortal cultivators. just because he can wax poetic about the realized version of Airplane's vision doesn't mean he can stop himself from also complaining about some of the bullshit these very real people pull on a near daily basis. Really, he feels charming, almost likable, almost interesting. Not just like another merchant is trying to schmooze him for a better deal with Tang Chong, or another cultivator is trying to take advantage of his position. Opportunities in either of Shang Qinghua's lives to make a pretty girl giggle and hang on to his every word without apparently ulterior motive have been, kind of scarce on the ground, you know? Is this what being a social butterfly is like? Let him have this confidence booster. They spent a relatively happy 3 days traveling this way. Shang Qinghua can't talk all the time, especially not when Luo Jiahui needs to look after Luo Bingha. But the silences gradually don't feel as strained anymore. When Shang Qinghua tries to turn the conversation back to Luo Jiahui, she tends to demur or deflect more often than not. And he respects that she doesn't want to talk. Her life has been pretty tough. He's happy to talk about how cultivators live, how they train, how they work, and some of the less impressive day in and day out of Anding Peak. Young disciples all across Dong Chong create many humorous anecdotes for their masters, most of which become funny only in hindsight, after all the fires have been put out. And Shang Qinghua has gotten over the annoyance of whatever the scheming or foolish little shits have done now. Really, he has nearly endless stories of future badass cultivators being ridiculous, troublesome children who don't know anything about anything. He tells Luo Jiahui some of his personal favorite anecdotes, which include things like, that time the littlest Shirmei brought home a baby two-headed invisible tiger, thinking it was a normal fat cat, and mommy two-headed invisible tiger came looking for her baby. And also, that time they all found out that third Shirdi innocently didn't know that chicken the food came from chicken the animal somehow. Little enriching life details of nameless background characters, which of course never made it into Proud Immortal Demon Wei. Little Luo Bingha burst into giggles nearly every single time his mama does. He's really too young to understand why his adoptive mother can barely breathe for laughter at the idea that a 14-year-old, admittedly a spoiled one from a noble family, honestly didn't know where chicken meat came from. Still, Airplane's son is clearly just happy that his mama is happy. Ah, so cute! Shang Qinghua really hopes he's building up an immunity to this. He still doesn't really want to, like, hold his son or anything, really. But he likes making the kid laugh. This is nice. Uncle Shang is a role he can do. Sorry, sister-in-law. No babysitting services here. Uncle Shang is a workaholic transmigrator who doesn't want kids. High on his success with this topic, Shang Qinghua ends up telling Luo Jiahui about the most recent Shen-fucking-Chin-Chu incident, in which the man intercepted and stole a talisman paper shipment intended for Kuxing Peak. Peak Lord Wang Qingjie found out, of course, but Shen Qingchu blithely told the man to just use the talisman paper originally intended for Qingjing Peak. After all, it was just a simple mix-up, right? No harm done, right? Except Wang Qingjie was like, no, the Qingjing paper is no good. And Shen Qingchu smiled the worst smile and was coolly like, oh, Qingjing, the peak of scholars and strategists is getting subpar talisman paper. Shang Shidi should explain himself. And Yue Qingyuan was like, obviously Shen Shidi needed the paper for something important and can't be made to give it back now. how fortunate it is that Wang Shidi is both patient and generous. I'm sure that another shipment will be arranged shortly. Sheng Shidi, why is Qing Jing receiving subpar talisman paper? And Shang Qinghua had to trace everything back to a petty Anding cultivator, a Shidi of his own generation, who had been nursing a serious grudge against Shen Qingqiu for years. Who didn't have a grudge against Shen Qingqiu? Honestly, that cultivator had been occasionally sabotaging Qing Jing supplies out of spite. And he'd already made himself scarce and fucked up his trail because he'd realized shit had hit the fan when Shen Qingqiu started fucking around. Catching him and undoing his years of bullshit had taken forever. And the whole fucking mess could probably have been avoided if Shen Qingqiu had just been like, "Someone is sending me shitty talisman paper, Shang Qinghua. Please fix it." I would have helped. Shen Shixiang is terrifying, Shang Qinghua complains. Luo Jiahui giggles at him again. How roundabout. Well, at least he gets a pretty girl's laughter out of the whole mess. Shang Qinghua is in the middle of talking more shit about his fellow peak lords, without cursing around the baby, and not, like, any grievous shit, because he knows some of their deepest, darkest secrets, because he wrote some of their deepest, darkest secrets, but rather more general daily asshole behavior, like getting huffy when shipments of their favorite tea fail to arrive on time, when one of his fellow peak lords drops out of the sky directly in front of him. Holy shit! Baichan's war god, Liu Qingge, does not do a classic three-point landing. Because it turns out that classic three-point landings are terrible for your knees. Shang Qinghua has learned his lesson. Real badasses do not do hard three-point landings if they want to have working knees. But Liu Qingge nevertheless lands with all the blatantly unfair grace and badass beauty of a legitimate, peerless immortal. He lands in the way that would require choreography and special effects electric fans to get his robes and hair to billow and settle like that. Before them, in real time, is an action shot that should have taken, like, at least 10 takes and some expert editing to get right. Unfair! Unjust! Bro, what the fuck? Shang Qinghua has never looked even half that good once in any life. Liu Qingge scowls at him, standing in the middle of the road with his arms crossed. There's been an emergency on Wanjian Peak. Shang Qinghua lowers his hastily drawn sword, tries to calm his racing heart, and is completely unsuccessful at trying to calm his racing heart. That's not good news. Not that he expected a sudden appearance of Liu Qingge to be good news. An emergency? What happened? A shipment from Zuixian Peak exploded. Zuixian? The alcohol peak? Okay, yes, alcohol wasn't the only thing they brew or do on Zuixian. They brew lots of things. But it's a big part of what they do. They bring a lot of money into Tang Chiang that way. Liu Qingge, would it actually kill you to use more words and explain what happened without prompting? Why does your poor Sheng Shixiang have to guess every time like this? The fire eater sword cleansing solution? Shang Qinghua says. He thinks it's been a while since the last shipment of that, and it seems the most likely culprit of an explosive incident between Zuixian and Wanjian. Wanjian Peak, Lord Wei Qingwei, does not like having drinking spirits on his peak full of sharp things, especially not anywhere near his smithies or workshops, for the obvious reason. Fire plus drinking spirits plus sharp metal equals bad. Liu Qingge nods. Is there much damage? Shang Qinghua asks. Superficial. Liu Qingga answers shortly. No one died. Oh, good. What's the emergency for me then, Liu Shidi? Isn't this a matter between Zui Xian and Wan Jian? I'll be back soon enough. Why do they need to send the Baichan war god after the Anding Peak Lord for this? Yue Qingyuan, deal with it on your own for a few days.
Anding delivered it,
Liu Qingga says. A hammer on a coffin would be a less terrifying sound. Fuck! Shang Qinghua's fate is sealed. He's going to be mopping up the mess and investigating the accident as a third party. The solution was improperly stored by some idiot junior disciple. He's calling it now. While Wei Qingwei and Cheng Qingyan yell at each other. Yue Qingyuan, please! This Shudi knows that you're busy managing the sect and its business with the rest of the world. Shang Qinghua knows better than any peak lord, but can't you pass this off to someone else for once? Changmen Shixiang? Okay, fine. Shang Qinghua cannot even fathom Liu Qingga being made to handle something like this. Mu Qingfang and most of the other peak lords would nope out on various not-my-department reasons, some of which would be legitimate. And people like Qi Qingqi and Shen Qingqiu can't really be trusted not to come up with brutally efficient solutions that will work very well but make no one happy if they're forced to interfere with the business of other peaks. And it must be a pretty bad situation if Yue Qingyuan sent their local war god to drag Shang Qinghua back. But please, please have mercy for once, Changmen Shixiang. Be a bro. Ah, shit. Shang Qinghua mutters. He looks at Luo Jiahui, who looks like she's desperately trying not to appear nervous. Yeah, Luo Qingga is not a super reassuring figure. Breathtakingly badass? Yes. Weirdly pretty? Yup. Comforting and approachable? Absolutely not. Liu Shidi, I'm afraid that I can't leave with you, Shang Qinghua confesses, quite daringly if you ask him. My younger brother has passed away. This is my widowed sister-in-law, Luo Jiahui, and my nephew, Bing He. I've promised to escort them to a new home in Sanjiao Town. Liu Qingga's eyes widen and his head snaps towards Luo Jiahui and Luo Bing He, previously mostly ignored, like he's never seen anything like them before. He stares at Luo Bing He, like he's trying to work out how Shang Qinghua could possibly be related to a baby that cute. Luo Bing He flaps an arm back in his direction, and Liu Qingga doesn't wave back, even though it really is super duper unfairly cute. Have a care, Liu Shidi. That's your future brother-in-law. Wave back. Adorable, isn't he? Cutest baby in the world, Shang Qinghua says. Aha, my younger brother was much better looking than me. Some people are definitely going to think that Luo Bingha is his bastard son, no matter what he says. But eventually, Luo Bingha is going to get older, and it's going to become glaringly obvious that they can't possibly be related. Everyone who ever sent Shang Qinghua a I don't believe you smile or a I really don't believe you frown is going to go, oh wow, that super good-looking kid can't possibly be yours. I was really wrong. Sorry. Liu Qingga stares some more, then nods like this makes perfect sense. Really? Liu Shidi? Shang Qinghua thinks in a wail. You don't have to believe the lie that quickly. Well, at least he knows Liu Qingge doesn't gossip, stoic weirdo that he is. Greetings, Master Cultivator, Luo Jiahui manages from atop the donkey. Liu Qingge bows, surprisingly polite. Madam Luo, he says. Zhang Qinghua is very glad that it's not going to be suspicious that his nephew isn't Shang Binghe or something. There are lots of matriarchal families in the world of Proud Immortal Demon Way. A world-building result, admittedly partly due to Airplane being a little inconsistent with his naming conventions. Also, due to pandering to various type of domination kinks, thinly veiled or shamelessly blatant, and other things that don't need to be talked about. Liu Qingge has his mother's name, actually. Zhang Qinghua wasn't aware that his world had been filled in this particular way until Madame Liu came to visit Chang Chong Mountain Sect. He really, really, really hopes that the formidable Madame Liu, a formal Shan Shu disciple, does not come back to visit her Peak Lord son again. It is basically the one thing in this life that Zhang Qinghua and Shan Shu Peak Lord Qi Qingqi agree on wholeheartedly. I can carry them, Liu Qingge says to Zhang Qinghua. Because he's Liu fucking Qingge, he does not give a shit about making Zhang Qinghua or anyone else look bad by comparison. All the way back to Chang Chong? Really? Liu Shidi, that's very helpful, but we've still got the donkey to deal with, so...
I could carry the donkey too.
What? What the fuck? Liu Shidi, that doesn't sound like a good idea.
The man just shrugs.
That does explain the monster carcasses by Chan disciples dragged back to the mountain sometimes. Holy shit! Do people just look up into the sky sometimes and see Liu Qingge flying by carrying a black moon rhinoceros python or something? Do they think they're seeing a black moon rhinoceros python fly? Holy fuck, Liu Qingge! What the hell? I don't know that my sister-in-law would be comfortable with something like that, Zhang Qinghua says hesitantly, looking up towards Luo Jiahui for an opinion. He doesn't really want to get back to Cheng Chong to deal with the latest mess any sooner, but the mess probably isn't going to get better if he tries to avoid it. He's tried that. It almost never works. He doesn't really want to come back to a settled cold shoulder war between Wan Jian and Zui Xian. He'll probably stay in Yue Qingyuan's bad books for at least a year if he bails now. But, he's not going to leave Luo Jiahui. And he's not going to force her to let a strange man carry her either. It sounds like brother-in-law is urgently needed back at his sect, Luo Jiahui says, lifting her chin bravely. I don't mind. Binghe doesn't like flying much, though, and if Master Liu needs to carry the donkey, too... Carrying a panicky donkey and a one-year-old at the same time is a stupid idea. Everyone here knows it. The donkey probably knows it. It's bound to end in disaster. Sorry, Liu Shidi, but Shang Shixiang is vetoing your offer to show off your arm strength for the pretty young sister.
Why don't we walk together to the next village? Zhang Qinghua suggests. Because apparently Anding is the last bastion of reason in the world sometimes. The donkey really is too unwieldy for Liu Shidi to carry, especially with sister-in-law and her baby on top. Even if he can carry their combined weight, the beast could panic. We can sell the donkey or settle my sister-in-law somewhere comfortable, and she can get to know Liu Shidi
better along the way. That sounds good, Luo Jiahui says. Liu Qingge says, which is probably a yes. Shang Qinghua is taking it as a yes. He's not taking any punishment from the system if the world implodes because Liu Qingge ends up dropping the baby protagonist. No way. Liu Qingge joining them on the road means that Shang Qinghua has to stop talking shit, unfortunately. At least about the Peak Lords and about other peaks. Which is a shame. Unloading all of the dirt he shovels around for peerless immortals was kind of relieving. Unfortunately, they've been found by, like, one of the few cultivators on Changchang who genuinely disdains dishing out the gossip, no matter how hot and tasty it is. Arg, how boring, Liu Shidi. Back to traveling in awkward silence for them, apparently. Master Liu? Brother-in-law was sharing some humorous stories about his junior disciple's mishaps, Luo Jiahui says, quite bravely. As Peak Lord, does Master Liu have any stories to share about his disciples' lessons? Really? How courageous! Shang Qinghua hadn't expected Luo Jiahui to try to make conversation with the Baichan war god. By Liu Qingge's surprised expression, he clearly wasn't expecting it either. What kind of stories? Liu Qingge says. Luo Jiahui hesitantly but smilingly relates the story of Third Shidi failing to know where chicken meat came from, which seems to be her favorite. She's a pretty good storyteller, which makes sense given that Airplane wrote her to basically be a perfect loving mother, tragically taken away from the young orphan protagonist. Fuck. Liu Qingge listens to the story in silence. He doesn't laugh, but his eyes actually widen at the punchline, in which the misunderstanding was finally understood by Shang Qinghua, then the head disciple of An Ding, and all his martial siblings. One of your Shirdi didn't know where meat came from? Liu Qingge demands, aghast. Shang Qinghua shrugs. Noble family? I'm from a noble family. Spoiled noble family? Shang Qinghua says helplessly. Does Master Liu have any similar silly stories to share with us? Luo Jiahui asks again. From what Shang Qinghua understands, Liu Qingge barely teaches his disciples anything besides how to get their asses beat, and wasn't close to many of his martial siblings as a disciple either. The man is a lone wolf, a one-man wrecking ball, so everyone else should get out of the way. Baichan still has hallmasters and other senior cultivators to run the peak, but Liu Qingge famously prefers wandering away from their mountains. My younger sister, Liu Qingge says finally. Master Liu has a younger sister? Luo Jiahui prompts. Mingyan, 3 years old. Oh, wow, Shang Qinghua thinks, not actually having expected Liu Mingyan to be that old yet. Older than the protagonist? Fuck, did I forget to give her an official age? Ah, well, no harm done this time, Airplane Bro. At Luo Jiahui's prompting, Liu Qingge tells the story of a recent visit to the Liu estate by one of his mother's many cultivator friends. This visitor was a formidable and elegant lady who wore a hat and an opaque veil which covered her entire face, which she never removed outside her own home. Little Mingyan had apparently been enthralled by the pretty veil and the veiled lady cultivator. So little Mingyan had been determined to have her own full face veil immediately, Except she hadn't known that the cultivator's opaque veil was actually enchanted to be transparent on the inside. Little Ming Yun had done her best to get her own veil by putting an ordinary piece of opaque cloth over her head. Then she walked around the Liu estate like that, unable to see anything but her own feet.
Oh no!
Luo Jiahui gasps, laughing. Liu Qingge smiles, the fondness on his face as clear as the sky above them.
She walked into many walls and doors, he says, almost into the fish pond.
How fortunate to avoid that, at least.
Not for lack of trying,
Liu Qingge explains amusedly.
I caught her.
Luo Jiahui laughs again.
A true hero. What a good big brother you are, Master Liu.
Shang Qinghua squints. Is Liu Qingge blushing?
Thank you, the man says.
Oh, I don't know what I'll do when my Bing Bing starts walking,
Luo Jiahui declares, cuddling the happy baby in her arms closer. As Luo Binghe chews on his new cloth doll.
Life got so difficult when he started crawling. He's already started standing up, and I had to put so many things out of his reach.
It was easier to watch Ming Yan when she couldn't run,
Liu Qingge agrees. Luo Jiahui starts cheerfully interrogating Liu Qingge on his younger sister's developmental milestones. New parent stuff, Shang Qinghua supposes. And Liu Qingge is surprisingly knowledgeable about babies. It's clear by the soft expression on his face and the warmth in his voice that the Baichan war god truly, dearly, and deeply loves his little sister. Most of Liu Qingge's wanderings, now that Shang Qinghua thinks about their roots, take him past his mother's home at least briefly. Probably so he can dote shamelessly on his beloved sister.
Wow, kinda makes Shang Qinghua feel really bad that Liu Qingge is going to die in about 14 years, just to further Shen Qingqiu's tragic scum villain backstory, and Liu Mingyan's tragic female lead backstory. Shang Qinghua suddenly doesn't like this conversation very much anymore.
Luo Binghe tosses his doll towards the ground then, completely randomly. He keeps doing this. Shang Qinghua doesn't understand babies.
Luo Binghe, he thinks, don't you like your Uncle Shang's gift? Uncle Shang thought you liked your new toy.
Liu Qingge swoops to the rescue. The man nimbly catches the cloth doll before it can hit the dirt and returns it to Luo Jiahui. Those are the sharp reflexes of a peerless immortal war god and a devoted older brother.
Luo Jiahui's smile widens.
Thank you very much, Master Liu.
No problem.
Bing Bing, say thank you to your hero,
Luo Jiahui urges. Luo Binghe hums and shoves his fist back in his mouth instead. So Luo Jiahui takes his other baby fist and waves that hand at Liu Qingge.
Thank you for saving my dolly, Hero Liu,
she says in a sweet voice, pretending to be Luo Binghe. She smiles so widely at the man, eyes bright with mischief. Okay, Liu Qingge is definitely blushing now. What the fuck? When they get to the next village, they say farewell to their faithful donkey, and Shang Qinghua resigns himself to returning to his job as Tang Chang's mop boy. Before they get rid of the donkey, though, Shang Qinghua makes sure to pull Luo Jiahui aside.
Are you sure you're fine to fly with him?
Shang Qinghua asks. Well, Liu Qingge interrogates a local on their recent monster troubles or something. In this world, thanks to Airplane's never-ending need for impressive threats for his protagonist to defeat, everywhere always has some form of monster troubles.
Liu Qingge thrives on it. Xiang Qinghua is perpetually stressed by it.
Luo Jiahui bites her lip, flushing pink. I'll be all right. I'm just worried about Bing Bing. I'll be fine as long as he doesn't find out.
Xiang Qinghua fills in the blank.
Oh.
I like how he treats me, not knowing.
Luo Jiahui whispers.
I forgot that.
Once again, Xiang Qinghua feels like something that ought to be scraped off the bottom of a shoe. It's not his fault. It's really not his fault. Airplane's vision was never really intended to be taken too seriously, especially after he sold out to the demands of his audience, much less be made real. But fuck, him and his damn implications. Why did the implications have to be taken so seriously?
All right, Xiang Qinghua says quickly. We can stop at any time, though.
Luo Jiahui nods. The flight back to Changchang is thankfully swift and uneventful. Liu Qingge carries Luo Jiahui with Luo Binghe in her arms. It turns out that Liu Qingge went off in the last town to find a way to tie Luo Binghe to his mother, and then tie Luo Jiahui to himself, just to make Luo Jiahui feel better about flying. Seatbelts for flying swords. Way to keep effortlessly making everyone else look bad, Liu Shidi. They have to stop a few times so Luo Jiahui can stretch, and when Luo Binghe gets restless and needs to be fed. But soaring over everything is so much faster than taking the winding roads through the countryside below. Luo Jiahui takes being frightfully high up and moving frightfully quickly like a champ this time, though Luo Binghe is still distressed by the experience. When they finally touch down in Sanjiao Town, one of the settlements along the base of the mountains, Luo Binghe is asleep and Luo Jiahui is clearly exhausted. Xiang Qinghua gently ushers them to a very nice, very private inn, with Liu Qingge following, and pays for a very nice private room with a good sturdy lock on the door. While Liu Qingge apparently takes it upon himself to intimidate the innkeeper, a woman, into taking good care of Luo Jiahui and her son, Xiang Qinghua leaves Luo Jiahui and the rest of his coin purse and a promise to be back as soon as possible. I just have to put out the worst fires on Wanjian, and then I'll be back, Xiang Qinghua assures her, standing by the closed door of her rented room. You can send someone up to Anding if there's an emergency, and I'll come right away. Or just if you need more money, I'll tell my disciples to watch out for a message.
I'll send a message,
Luo Jiahui promises, smiling. Please, and feel free to start house hunting around town without me in the meantime, if I take too long to come down again. Don't worry about work.
All right. What else?
Oh, Tian Chao Peak has a clinic in the town, if you need anything. Or they can just check to make sure that you and Bing Bing are both healthy. It's free, too. They even... Zhang Qinghua, who helps Mu Qingfang make sure that clinic is well supplied and supported, so the disciples can get some practical experience with non-cultivators, lowers his voice. They do birth control and, other things if sister-in-law needs that sort of help. Luo Jiahui turns pink, but she nods thankfully. It turns out that birth control and family planning are a hugely important part of society in a world full of aphrodisiacs and other contrived pa-pa-pa plot devices. Ha! Who would have guessed? Not airplane shooting towards the sky! Sometimes it feels like Xiang Qinghua's job is actually just importing supplies to Tian Chao Peak and then exporting medicines from Tian Chao Peak again. And he knows that some of those shipments are various types of birth control. He also knows that if Anding fucks up important shipments related to birth control and reproductive health, Tian Chao Peak Lord Mu Qingfang, who is really no less an asshole than the rest of their siblings, has no problem with sending Shan Chu, Peak Lord, Qi Qingqi, who has equally strong opinions about this sort of thing, around to ask Shang Qinghua what the fuck went wrong. It's terrifying. Sometimes Shang Qinghua forgets that he transmigrated into the world of a cultivation web novel that became an erotic stallion web novel. He'll be going about his daily business, and then he'll have a realization like, I am talking to a proud fuck-or-die antidote farmer right now, who inherited his respectable business from his father, who inherited it from his father before that. The Papa device cure business is a real thing here. Sex pollen cure maker is a real job in this world. This is my life now.
Thank you, brother-in-law,
Luo Jiahui says quietly, the sincerity clear on her face. Shang Qinghua's heart kind of stutters here. Again.
Oh, what the fuck was that? Maybe Shang Qinghua needs to go to the local clinic? There's probably something horribly physically wrong with him, which would be way less terrifying than him catching genuine feelings over this situation.
You're, welcome, Shang Qinghua manages.
Maybe he's dying. Man, he hopes he's dying for completely unrelated reasons.
Liu Qingge knocks on the door, which means it's time to go. And Shang Qinghua stands aside, feeling really fucking something over listening to Liu Qingge promise that Luo Jiahui can send word to Bai Chan as well if she needs anything.
Thank you, Master Liu,
Luo Jiahui says.
But I couldn't.
It's no trouble,
Liu Qingge insists.
Oh, well, I'll keep that in mind then. Thank you very much, Master Liu,
Luo Jiahui says, eyes bright with mischief again, as she lifts a sleeping Luo Bingha a little higher.
Thank you for looking out for both of us, Hero Liu.
Liu Qingge says, smiling. Really, Shang Qinghua did not envision the man to be this handsome. Unfair! Poor Luo Jiahui turns even pinker.
Haha, wow. It's like neither of them have any idea that they're both supposed to die tragically young to further other people's angsty backstories.
Shang Qinghua is still kind of convinced that Luo Jiahui is going to manage to die tragically young anyway, because his power to impact the plot has always been non-existent before now, and his system is a stingy, spiteful piece of shit.
Just like him, really. They match like that.
Shang Qinghua and Liu Qingge bid farewell to Luo Jiahui, then fly up to Wanjian Peak, towards a blown-out cavern on the side of the mountain that is still smoking slightly, even though the explosion was days ago. Disciples are trooping in and out and all around, wearing full-body cover-ups and masks to protect themselves. The debris around the storage cavern is, impressive. Wow, no one died? Really? Wanjian Peak Lord Wei Qingwei and Zui Xian Peak Lord Zhang Qingyan are shouting at each other nearby, both looking like shit, so much as peerless immortal cultivators can look like shit, with an equally exhausted Yue Qingyuan standing beside. All three of them turn to look as Shang Qinghua and Liu Qingge come down to land.
Shang Shidi,
Yue Qingyuan says.
Thank you for finally joining us.
Zhongmen Shixiang, what's with that tight, forced smile?
Yeah, Wei Qingwei and Zhang Qingyan are stressed out and taking it out on you, but why do you have to stress finally like that? Why do you always have to be passive-aggressive like this? Surprisingly, Liu Qingge steps forward, looking daring.
"He came as fast as he could," he declares. "He was helping his sister-in-law."
"What?" "Liu Qingge," Shang Qinghua thinks in despair. "Why do you have to share a man's private business like that? Serious violation of the bro code. They didn't need to know that. Your bro didn't want them to know that."
Yue Qingyuan is also clearly surprised by Liu Qingge's support for Shang Qinghua. And maybe also that Shang Qinghua has family.
"Ah," he says very slowly. "My apologies for taking you from important family matters, Shang Shidi. We are always very grateful that you look after your martial family so well, and hope that you will be able to help us understand this terrible accident."
"Of course, Zhangmen Shixiang," Shang Qinghua says with a quick bow. "Thank you for sending Liu Shidi to inform me of the incident and assist me in my mission. I'd appreciate it if my family business didn't go any further than this, if you don't mind. My sister-in-law is a very private woman."
Yue Qingyuan nods.
"Of course it will go no further."
Liu Qingge frowns but nods as well. Wei Qingwei and Cheng Qingyan nod very begrudgingly. When Yue Qingyuan looks at them, Zhang Qinghua doesn't really trust them at all not to gossip to someone.
"Thank you," Zhang Qinghua says, with dignity he doesn't have.
"Haha, what the fuck was that, though?" Liu Qingge standing up for a future rat trader Zhang Qinghua? In what world?
"Zhang Qinghua," Zhang Qingyan snaps, unable to hold back any longer. "I hope you can explain exactly what happened after my disciples handed off the fire-eating sword-cleaning solution to your disciples to deliver to Wei Qingwei's disciples that caused this terrible accident. Given how many hands touched it after it left my peak, I fail to see why I'm to blame for this accident."
"Your peak made it," Wei Qingwei cries. "It was faulty."
Yue Qingyuan winces and sighs. "Ah," Zhang Qinghua thinks despondently, his shoulders falling. "Time to get to work."